Greet you in Jesus' name this morning. Trust that our worship will continue. This morning I was thinking a bit about about Thanksgiving, and it started that mission meeting there. Brother Jonathan referenced that, but the speaker there referenced someone in his church who responds when asked how he is doing. He said he's too blessed to be stressed, and he spoke about that a bit, and that got my mind going on the subject of Thanksgiving, and I would like to talk about that this morning. I guess I would title it Thoughts on Thanksgiving. I was thinking of the sin of ingratitude, and I would like that thought to come through some, because not only is Thanksgiving something that we're commanded and directed to do in scriptures, but God considers ingratitude to be sin. He considers that to be wrong. A couple thoughts. First of all, on ingratitude. I'm not going to focus primarily on ingratitude, but Webster's Dictionary defines ingratitude as forgetfulness of or poor return for kindness received. So someone did kindness, and gratitude is our response to that. And ingratitude is a poor return for something that someone did to you. That someone helped you out, and you responded with a poor return, or not much response. That's ingratitude. It can also be defined as not appreciating or valuing what you have or have been given. Unexpressed gratitude is also ingratitude. So in other words, sometimes we think about thanking someone and have it, we'd say, in our hearts, and yet we don't express it, and really that's ingratitude. If we don't get it expressed, if the other person doesn't know it, we can't claim gratitude. Well, gratitude is a state of heart, but a state of heart expresses itself and shows itself to others. There's lots of scriptures in relation to this subject, and I'm actually not going to probably quote many of them, or as many as some times this morning. I've spoken on this subject a number of times. Colossians 3:15 says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, and that which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." God's calling us to let his peace rule in our hearts. And this is just simply one of the verses that commands us to be ye thankful. It's direction that we're given, that we're supposed to figure out how to do. We're supposed to make a practice in our life. We're supposed to make it a part of us. Now, I'd like you to turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. I've used this reference before, but I would just like to look at it again in relation to this subject. And then I have another illustration of a similar thing. But Ecclesiastes 9. And I want to read verses 13 through 16. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 13. "This wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great unto me. There was a little city, and few men within it. And there came a great king against it, and besieged it, and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he, by his wisdom, delivered the city. Yet no man remembered that same poor man. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard." But the thing we're focusing on is the fact that he was forgotten. He was not rewarded in any way for what he had done. He saved many people, He saved the city. The city would have been destroyed if it had not been for his input, for his interest and his investing himself in that project, in that salvation. They would have been destroyed. And yet, that salvation that all those city residents received, they didn't return. There was no return for that favor that they had received. They were selfish. They received salvation and they didn't give anything back in return. They didn't remember it at all. They didn't do anything back for him. How many people, by giving us some special encouragement or advice, have steered or strengthened us in the right way? And there's many people that have an input in our lives. And part of being thankful is seeing that and realizing that and recognizing that we are not self-made. There are many others who have input into our lives. Our tendency is to honor men of wealth or popularity and let smaller gifts go unrewarded, let smaller gifts go unnoticed, as this story would say. But this man made the difference between life and death for the inhabitants of the city, yet they apparently didn't consider that. Many people make a difference in our lives today, and especially thankfulness is first of all to God for all he's done. I need a reminder of that. We just tend to take our lives for granted. We tend to go from day to day, and many things that we have are commonplace to us. We tend to take for granted, and we tend not to remember God. But then, so first of all, we owe a tremendous debt of thankfulness to him. But then there are many, many other people, our parents, our grandparents, our friends, our church family, our neighbors, make an investment in our lives, and we owe it to them to be thankful, to remember that, and to notice that. And it's part of being a godly person to see that and to be a thankful person. A few statistics about gratitude. If you look it up, there's many. God has designed gratitude, I believe, to be appropriate and to bring benefits into our lives. Some statistics that are, first of all, we understand that gratitude increases with age. We're told that for every 10 years, gratitude increases by 5%. So it is typical of mankind that when we're young, we don't tend to be as thankful as we are when we're older. As we get older, we tend to see and to appreciate and to realize the many things we benefit from. They say that grateful people will have a stronger bond with their friends. Grateful people will have more satisfying relationships with others and will be better liked. And we can picture that. We can understand that some, but grateful people have better relationships and more friends than others. Grateful people will have, statistically, 10% fewer stress-related illnesses. They'll be more physically fit. They'll have blood pressure that is lower by 12%. That's physical benefits in our bodies to be thankful, to be grateful to others. Just simply the idea that we recognize that we owe a debt to others, that we need to be thankful to others. Others have done something for us that changes our body physically. Happy people earn roughly 7% more income. Grateful youth are 20% more likely to get A grades. Youth are more likely to get good grades if they're thankful. and in the world 13% less likely to be involved in fights. Overall, positive emotions can add up to 7 years, can add up to 7 years to your life. So a positive or a thankful person statistically lives 7 years longer than others. Now, I have a story that I'd like to share. Around 2 in the morning on September 8th of 1860, so about 150 years ago, there was a steamship called Lady Elgin collided with the schooner Augusta in Lake Michigan. So they were on the Great Lakes up there, Lake Michigan. There was a steamship with around 400 people on it, and this schooner was more of a cargo ship, and they were near a certain city in Illinois. The Lady Elgin was carrying more than 300 passengers. I had read close to 400. And on a round-trip sightseeing tour from Milwaukee to Chicago, the in the dark, when the steamship had left shore, it was calm, but a storm had blown up. And in the dark and in the storm, they didn't see each other. And until they saw each other, it was too late to avoid a collision. And so the schooner, the cargo ship, ran into the side of the steamship, almost at a 90-degree angle, as I understand. The cargo ship was able to go on to port, and it was badly damaged, but it made it to port and docked, and there was no loss of life there. The Lady Elgin, they weren't sure how badly it was damaged. They actually tried to send out a little boat to go around and to examine the damage, but in the dark, they really couldn't tell. And so they kept on going, but about half an hour later, actually, the heavy engine and steam boiler dropped out of the bottom of the ship because it was damaged, the hull was damaged to that point. And so there's that tremendous weight of that steam equipment in the storm, worked its way and eventually dropped out, and then the boat quickly disintegrated, but quickly went to pieces. The cabin of the ship stayed together for a while, and a bunch of the people, several hundred people, gathered in that, and then it disintegrated. And so they were a ways from shore. It's the middle of the night. There's only, I think, two lifeboats went out from it, but they made out as best they could. So people on shore toward morning, someone found some wreckage or something of it and alerted other people, and people gathered on shore to see what this was. By the size of the fragments coming, they realized it must have disintegrated pretty far offshore, but they started seeing some survivors coming, and there was a university nearby, and quite a few people from that university came and were gathered on shore. There was one young man who was somewhat of a weakly man, but he had grown up on the Mississippi River and he was a good swimmer. And so he was one of the ones who went out and helped to rescue people. There were quite a few people that went out and helped rescue others. But many of the survivors from the ship made it to within sight of the shore, but because of the storm and the waves and the rocks and all that, they died within sight of shore. So these men that were on shore, man I'm referring to, Edward Spencer, they tied a rope to him and left him out, and he went out as far as he could, but he couldn't reach the people, so they tied another rope on, left him out further, and he was able to get a hold of a person and bring them in, and he went out again and did the same thing. And there's a number of different stories from that night. Once apparently he got washed against a rock and hit his head, and the person on shore started pulling him in. And there was someone that he wanted to help out there. And so he untied the rope around himself and went out and got the person and was able to bring them in. After he had brought in about 15 people, each time he came back, he would sit around the fire and warm up, recuperate, and they said he drank something, they weren't sure what. but to help keep him going. But after about 15 people, he was worn out. And I'm not sure if he actually had passed out briefly at that point or if that was later. But then there was another person out there, and they could see that that person was hanging on to a second person. And that inspired him, and he went out one more time. And he went out, and he was able to get a hold of the last man and his wife and brought them in. And at that point, I think maybe is when he passed out and he was woke in his dorm room. And he recovered. But I'm going to... The story goes on and says that he moved away. He was not able to finish college because it damaged his health, and he was never the same after that. Actually, I believe he was in a wheelchair the rest of his life. And I'm not sure what all factors went into that. It may be in some of a combination of things, but definitely this experience weakened him further and brought him to that point. He did marry and have children. But it was 50 years before he returned to that city and to that place. His brother became a preacher, and I believe shared his experience, and that might be part of the reason we have the account of the story today and his experiences. I'm not certain how most of the accounts of the story do not have this detail, but probably this came through his brother. And I don't know how accurate it is necessarily or not. But after his death, his brother described Edwards. No, I'm sorry. Okay. The young man, Edward Spencer, he was tormented by the thought that he'd do his best to bring in everyone he could. He was tormented by the fact that he would say, "Tell me the truth, did I fail to do my best? Did I do the best I could to rescue everyone that was that I could?" But what they said at the end of his life, or he saved 17 people from drowning. In the process, his health was ruined. Spent the rest of his life in a wheelchair. But he talked about that night. Later years, he would say with tears in his eyes, "Not one of those rescued ever came back and said thank you." And so that's the big question, or the big lesson of the story, is he risked his life in a very real way, in a very, very great danger. So many people were losing their lives that night. He risked his life to save what he could. And question is, were those who he saved thankful? Now, we would think many times, maybe in times past, people were more distant and couldn't communicate as well. You haven't been pulled out of angry waves like that. You probably don't have a person to thank for saving your life like that. But our lives have been saved from death and from very real danger. And how thankful are we? And for the many lesser things that people have helped us with, how thankful are we? All right, I would like to go on. I just have six observations about people that are thankful. Six things that people do that are considered thankful people. Characteristics of those who are thankful. First one would be that they think, at least once in a while, they ponder death and loss. And that might not be the first one you would normally think of, but our lives are fragile, and it helps us to understand, helps us to be thankful, helps us to put life in perspective if we think about where we came from and where we're going. And we think about the more unpleasant things of life, as we would often reference them. And I was trying to think, well, it'd be several verses. Psalm 106:1 says, "Praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." But we're talking about a proper perspective of life. We're to give thanks to God because he's eternal, because his mercy endures forever. As in contrast to us, where our lives are so short. Our lives don't go on forever, at least in a physical way. But God's mercy was good for those before us that came to this life before us. It's good for us, and it's good for those who will come after us in a physical sense. God's mercy will last forever. And so I see that as a verse that helps us to understand our temporal nature and our short time in our short allotted time in this life. 1 Corinthians 15:57. "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And we will have victory if we trust in God. But if we think about that and ponder that, our victory isn't always in this life, and it's not always the way we would like to have it in this life. But in the scope of things, in the scope of eternity, we will have victory. We are promised victory if we have faith in God and live for him. He gives us the victory. Even the martyrs who gave up their lives at the stake or wherever, you know, God gave them the victory. And so it helps to give us a proper perspective of life. A proper perspective of life helps us to be thankful to God. Helps us to understand that no matter what this life brings to us, God is in control. And God will receive praise. And we will bring praise to his name if we serve him. Contemplating endings really does make one more grateful for the life they currently have. And again, I'm referencing more outside material than I often do, but one study asked people to visualize their own deaths and their gratitude. They noticed that their gratitude measurably increased when they thought about their own deaths. They thought about they're not going to live forever. Many people don't like to think about that. But if we do, helps us to be more thankful. Similarly, another study envisioned the sudden disappearance of one's marriage partner from their lives. And it made people more grateful for their partners. Same goes for imagining some positive event like a job promotion, something good that happened to you. If that hadn't happened, where would you be? If you envision that the loss of that good thing, what effect would it have on your life? Helps us to realize, helps us to comprehend, and helps it to sink into our minds how much of a blessing they really are. It's not just a theoretical idea. When we find ourselves taking a good thing for granted, it's good for us to try giving it up for a while. Another example, some researchers had 55 people eat a piece of chocolate. And then the researchers told some of those people to resist chocolate for a week, others to binge on chocolate if they wanted, and they left the third group to their own devices to eat chocolate if they wanted it or not. Guess who were the more thankful? Well, the ones that had stayed away from chocolate for a week. And the ones who were least thankful were the ones who ate chocolate whenever they wanted it. Does that help us understand why we have such a tendency to not be thankful, because we have so many things around us. We have so many things. Second main point is they take time to enjoy the small things of life. Talk different times about smelling the roses, enjoying smell of bread baking in the oven, smell the different smells, smell of coffee, smell of different things can give us pleasure. Again, those that study it find that savoring positive experiences makes them stick in your brain better. So if you actually think about a positive experience, you actually think about a good smell, you think about a pretty rose, you think about a pretty flower, you think about the nice thing someone did to you, that helps you remember it and helps you appreciate it more. The more we savor it, the more we roll it over in our mind, the more we appreciate it. One of the ways appreciation and gratitude go hand in hand, if we talk about it, if we express gratitude for it, it helps us to reinforce that in our mind and helps us to remember it. So in other words, thanksgiving, giving thanks, saying thank you helps to reinforce that and helps it to stay in our mind. We know the Bible teaches that. We know there's many different things the way God made creation are for our benefit and helps for our enjoyment. And if we notice them, God's people throughout history have noticed those things and have enjoyed them and made the most of them. And it's brought richness to our time here on this earth. This article I was checking with says about things that we go, routine things that we go through, even like praying before a meal, helps us to remember and helps to reinforce that thankfulness and that gratitude to God. Enjoying the small things of life. We know that we tend to take for granted things that happen to us. When we have things commonly, when we have many things, we tend to take them for granted and we lose our gratitude for them. It's good for us to, something that we are taking for granted, we realize we're taking for granted, we realize we're not as thankful for as we should, it's good for us to give it up for a while or to stay away from it, abstain from it a bit. And it helps us to appreciate it more. Many different parts of our body are made like that. We know that fasting, if we stay away from food for a while, it heightens our sense of taste and makes things more tasty for a spell. I believe it's the way God has made us. He's made us to, it works that way. And so we should, some of those things can help our thankfulness. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. Absence might make the heart grow more grateful, more thankful. Third thing, people that are thankful, grateful, don't take things for granted. They don't have an entitlement attitude. They don't expect that people are going to do things for them. They take the good things as gifts. They realize that they're gifts. They realize that they don't deserve them. The attitude that people owe you something because you're so very special is not a grateful attitude, does not help us to be grateful as we should. In all of its manifestations, a selfish heart, if we're selfish, if we think more of ourselves than we should, it tends to make us forget our benefits and those that are our benefactors or those that are helping us, and to feel that we are owed things from others and to not feel grateful. Counting blessings will be ineffective if we're selfish, because grievances always outnumber gifts. If we look at ourselves, if we focus at ourselves, on ourselves, we can always find more grievances than blessings, and more things that we think people owe us, and more ways that people have left us down, more ways that people have hurt us. Depending on our perspective of life, that can change how that looks. And the carnal man, the carnal heart, if it's not thankful, can always find more negatives than positives. But we know that's not accurate and that's not realistic. If we have a proper perspective, if we recognize God as a creator, if we recognize God as our creator, and think about that properly, it fosters gratefulness in our hearts. For God, for our parents, for others who have invested in our lives. We are not truly self-sufficient. Humans need other people for everything. For everything, from food to love to taking care of ourselves, to meeting our needs, our medical needs, all kinds of needs. We need other people. And we only are fooling ourselves if we don't recognize that, recognize that and aren't thankful to others. Seeing with grateful eyes requires that we see how God made us and how He made us interdependent on others, and how He supports us and how He provides the things we need, and how much we depend on the others to help to also take care of our needs. Humble person sees that life is a gift to be grateful for and not a right to be claimed. Next point is, grateful people don't just see the blessings, but they see the one behind the blessings. There's many things that we can enjoy in life. We can enjoy the sun coming up in the morning. We can enjoy the rainbow. We can enjoy the food we eat. But a grateful person looks beyond that and sees the God that keeps the world going around and the sun coming up in the morning, and who has made the promise behind the rainbow, and who sees the effort that was put into the food that you're sitting down to eat. Who recognizes that someone put effort into washing your clothes, and put effort into building the house that you live in, and put effort into the roads we drive, and, you know, sees someone behind the things that you're experiencing. Natural man, naturalist, someone who doesn't recognize God, just sees the things around them and believes that they came into existence by themselves and doesn't see anyone behind them, and it destroys your thankfulness and your gratefulness. If we can see behind the things that are around us, if we can see the effort and recognize that someone put, and maybe some of that might be to some of a positive attitude goes into that. We don't always know what motive a person had for doing the things that we do. An ungrateful person assumes that there's a negative or a selfish motive for the things that people do for them. But a grateful person assumes that there was a positive reason that a person did those things for you, and they wanted to help you. And maybe we don't always know that for a fact, but probably more often than we tend to think, people do want to help us, and they do things for a positive reason for us. And so to be grateful and to be thankful, we know that God created us and made us and sustains us because of His great love for us. We know that. And We know that, if you're honest, we know that many people around us love us and do many things for us for our benefit because of their love for us also, because of their interest in our lives. And we do well to recognize that and to be grateful. Gratefulness and happiness, gratefulness, thankfulness is contagious. If we're grateful to someone for what they do to us, it brightens their life and helps them to be cheerful and to be grateful to others. But the main point here is that we just don't have a lot of things in our life that arrive there without anyone else's interest and anyone else's help. We owe thanks to others for the many things that are around us. Fifth thing a grateful person does is to mention specifics I have room to grow in this myself. Thankfulness is not something that comes natural to us, it seems, many times. And when we do, it's easy to just say, well, thank you for the good meal, and that's good. But it's good to be thankful for a specific thing, for the potatoes or for the rolls or whatever. And we know that. I've heard that many times and I've seen that lived out. But it's a good reminder for us that it's important for us to be grateful for the specifics. And we don't thank God just for, it's proper to thank God for life and breath, but those are specifics, and we want to thank Him for the specific things. And if you want to deepen your thanksgiving, deepen your gratefulness to God, think about the specific things that He's done for you and what you would be like without those specific things, those many individual things. It helps, and as we relate to others, think about the specific things they do for you and mention them, express your thanks for them. Thankfulness thrives on being on details and on being specific. Now, I would like to take that a step further. There's thankfulness. A truly thankful person notices specifics and notices individual things. Turn to 2 Samuel 9. This is the account of David blessing Mephibosheth, Jonathan's descendant, 2 Samuel 9. We know the relationship that David and Jonathan had, how they were very good friends and they wanted to do whatever they could for each other. 2 Samuel 9. And so after Jonathan died in the battle there, and eventually David was made king. Some point in his life there, he remembered Jonathan. He remembered. And chapter 9, verse 1, David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." The king said unto him, "Where is he?" And David could call him in and given him a medal and given him decorations and given him a feast and said, you know, "God bless you," and send him on his way. But that's not what David did. David sent and fetched him. And when Mephibosheth came before David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, "Behold thy servant." David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake. I will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." And he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" I just was impressed with the things that David did for him. It wasn't just an attitude. It wasn't just a plaque or a thank you note. But he did quite a few very sizable things, and things that went on for a long time. He gave him land back, but he had him sit at David's table for the rest of his life. That was a constant reminder to David of the friendship that he had with Saul and the indebtedness he had to honor Jonathan's memory. Just thinking about us, as we are thankful, many times we know we're thankful, we want to be thankful, but to really express it, and it's worthwhile to do something in return. Remember, the definition we had of ingratitude was when someone did something, a poor return for a kindness received. David made sure that he had a very good return for the kindness that Jonathan had shown to him. He gave back far more, possibly, you could say, than Jonathan had done. He gave a very good return. That's gratefulness. That's thankfulness. Gratitude expresses itself in practical ways. Gratitude is a thank you when someone does you a favor. But true gratitude looks for an opportunity to do a kind deed in return. Looks for an opportunity to return the favor when there's a chance. The last thing I'd mention is that thankful people thank, you could say, outside the box. They thank in unusual ways or for unusual things. And what I'm referring to there there's many things. Okay, the Bible makes it clear to us. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. We talk about different times we're supposed to give thanks in all things, which is 2 Corinthians 4:15, I believe it is. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace, in other words, whatever happens to you is for the grace of God, or is due to the grace of God. It's for to bring honor and glory to Him. And of course, the more familiar one, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." But what about all those things that we don't seem good that happen to us? And there's many things that in this life happen that we have a very difficult time seeing the good in them. We really, and there might be things that we don't see the good in this life. What about the friend who no longer speaks to us? What about the homeless person who asks for change or is begging and we come across? What about the job that we lost? What about different things that happen? And we could get things that the loss of loved ones. And I do not make any claim to understand and to be able to explain God's purpose in those things. But the call to us is to find to be thankful in all things. And some way, I think the call is for us to find some positive outcome, even out of the things that we normally consider negative in life, that we normally consider to be a problem. No one feels grateful for sickness or for problems, for many different things that can happen to us. We don't feel grateful. We don't tend to feel grateful for those things. But if we consider them often, and sometimes we need to be thankful to God for them first, and then He helps us to see some of the benefits that they've brought into our life, some of the things that He's taught us through that, or the experiences that He's brought to us, some of the friends that He brings to us through those experiences. I believe, I'm not sure which comes first there, the thankfulness or the good things that we see, but they probably go together. There's a number of ways that God helps us, can help us to be thankful even in things we consider losses in life. Gratitude becomes a way of thinking about the world that can help us to turn disasters into stepping stones, can help us turn those negative things into things that help us to grow, and helps us to, we see God working in our lives. Life in this world is suffering. There is suffering in this world. No amount of positive thinking will change that. But, and we can't just tell people to be positive, think good. We have to see God behind it, and we have to thank Him for it, and look for the positive things that He has to bring into our life through them, through that. He does work out all things for good according to His word. And as we live for Him, He will do that. Gratitude to each other, to man, is important. But how much more so to God, who has given us all that we have. Deuteronomy 8:10, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which He hath given thee. Colossians 1:12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. We have many earthly blessings that we enjoy, and we know that we are blessed in a physical way, probably above men of all times, I believe, as far as the accumulation of things. But we're blessed even more in a spiritual way and with the spiritual inheritance that we can have. Ingratitude to God is condemned. We know that. Romans 1 19 through 21 says this, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Talking about men of the end times, men that turned against God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination. Their foolish heart was darkened. One of the characteristics of evildoers is that they are not thankful. May we be known as those that are thankful and grateful to God. A couple more verses. Hebrews 13:15. But Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Talking about doing it continually. Offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Are we thanking God continually? Is there thanksgiving in our hearts continually to God? Many parts of heaven and our future life are, you know, the Bible talks about heaven and the saints gathered around, and what are they doing? They're praising God. But they're expressing thanksgiving to Him, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. That's what we'll be doing in heaven. We'll be thanking God for what he has done. We need to start, we want to be thankful here. Saying in Revelation 11:17, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. Thank God for the spiritual way that he's brought us through. And God condemns those that are ungrateful. Ingratitude, we know, well, another verse about the evildoer, 2 Timothy 3, 1 and 2. This know also that in the last day perilous time shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. There's certainly, we grow in our thankfulness, our gratefulness to God. Many times we don't think it's as serious as it is to not be grateful. But the challenge this morning is to realize that that's ingratitude and a characteristic of those who are evil and who will not be in heaven is that they are unthankful. They don't see the giver behind the things that we have. Let's come before the Lord in prayer.